So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 96. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Secrets of the Empire. Since Danya has had a chance to do it, now we can have in-depth discussion about it, and you'll get to know all about it. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hi! Yes, I am now the other side of Secrets of the Empire, so I'm not going to, like,
basically pull my
headphones out every single time Mikey tries to talk about it and go, no spoilers, no spoilers!
It's okay. And we also have Caitlin with us, who hasn't seen it, been through it. I guess you can't say seen it, but you've experienced it. We'll talk more about it when we get to the spotlight. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hi.
She's going to ask all the questions for those of you who haven't had a chance to do Secrets of the Empire. But if you want to get involved in the conversation, you guys can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. And I will tell you this, I'm actually listening to one of the new Star Wars audiobooks. I've already read the book, done it, and I know you've read it too. It's From a Certain Point of View, the 40 short stories for the 40th anniversary. I will say, after finish reading it, I'm like, I bet you this would be awesome on Audible. And oh my gosh, it's amazing. Every single story in there has a different person doing the voice of the characters. It's awesome. Like, I'm only halfway through it. I just finished the Boba Fett story. And it's just really cool, like, to hear different people do it. And obviously, if you've listened to any of the Star Wars books on Audible, they have music and sound effects, and it's pretty awesome. So I will say, From a Certain Point of View is probably one of my new favorite books on Audible, and I could probably listen to it a couple times just because it's multiple short stories and stuff. So check it out at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. We got some cool perks up there. Check it out by going to the website. If you can't afford to support us on Patreon, we also have merchandise available on our website, t-shirts and buttons. You can check that out at resistanceradio.net. But I think it's time for the news. So the first bit of news was something that I thought was really fun that came out this week, was actually the YouTube channel of How It Should Have Ended. And they did a really good video. I think it was like 7 minutes long of a lot of different, just different points of like different things that they could have changed. But the very end was the big end. What'd you guys think of this, How The Last Jedi Should Have Ended?
It was really funny.
All right. It was pretty darn funny from the beginning. What was your favorite scene that they said how it should have ended?
The bit when they're in, the AT-ATs at, like, right at the end.
So the actual how the ending should have ended with... So,
yeah.
When Luke and Rey are together with their lightsabers at the end on Crait. Yeah.
It's the bit where Kylo Ren is like, nobody asked you, Carl.
I think my favorite part was when they were in Snoke's room and Ghost Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up.
Ghost Obi-Wan shows up? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, my children were drunks. This is my granddaughter. And then Anakin Ghost shows up and goes, oh my god, you're a grandfather? I'm so excited.
That, I will say, it was a blast seeing this. Just because, you know, it's one of those things where if you've never seen the How It Should Have Ended, you know, kind of shorts that they do, the animations, they take all sorts of different films, everything from, I think one of the first ones I saw was Iron Man. And a long time ago, back in 2008, you know, and they do all these different ones, just kind of like really obvious plot holes or things that like they could have changed to make it like kind of fit kind of fanfare or just like obvious like questions why this didn't just happen this way. And they did it perfect for it. Like, I love going to Canto Bight with Rose and Finn and how, you know, one of the biggest arguments to the Canto Bight scene is how it kind of makes fun of almost the dire peril why they're doing it is they're doing it to get somebody so they can go in and they're literally running for their lives and they end up kind of going on this side adventure, which I think was fun and very much in the spirit of Star Wars, but they did a good job of explaining, like, we can't do this, or why did they land on the beach versus, like, somewhere where they could have hidden the ship and not cause, you know, problems with the police in the first place. You know, all little things. So I thought the short was great.
My only problem with it is that I felt like a lot of the times they were kind of criticizing Rose's character. And I like Rose. So I'm just like, no. But anyways.
Yeah, well, I like Rose too, but I think it's also not necessarily criticism of her, but more the pacing and choices of the film that used her in it. Does that make sense? They also, like, you know, it's one of those things where I think the comment of Poe saying, oh no, they just killed Poe and Rose, and, you know, you have, you know, Leia going, Rose who? You have to remember, like,
Finn and who?
Yeah, you know,
he said Finn and who?
Finn and who instead of Rose who? Yeah, Finn and who? It's, you know, one of those things, because Rose wasn't in the previous film. You know, there was no connection to it, which I personally love her, but
Leia wouldn't have known Rose. Yeah.
Except, you know, in the books, you know that Leia does know Rose and her sister Paige, but that's besides the point. That's for us Star Wars fans who are listening to this podcast. But regardless, check it out. We'll have it linked to it in our show notes, and I'll probably post it on the website so it's easy for you guys to get to just by checking out resistanceradio.net. Moving on. The next bit of news is some speculation on Rebels, because guess what? Rebels is coming back extremely soon. And they talk about Palpatine showing up in Rebels and how the possibility that Palpatine may actually have been trying to seduce Ezra to replace Darth Vader. What do you think of that idea?
Not surprising.
Yeah. It's interesting, but again, it's kind of one of those things where it's like he's all about opportunity. You know?
He is, you know, and the argument makes is if you're reading the most recent Darth Vader comics, which are absolutely phenomenal. The most recent one is kind of Vader's origin story. It it shows basically Palpatine was considering replacing Vader after his failure on Mustafar, after he had kind of brought him back. And he tested him a whole bunch, like a ridiculous amount. And that's how you end up seeing how Vader gets his red lightsaber and all those things like that. But so, you know, it's one of the things. So we see that the Emperor is not beyond, not like showing sheer loyalty to Vader himself, but just thinking about it and having this force sensitive boy who's caused so many problems for his empire and has been around and seen Vader multiple times. You know, he's been confronted by Vader. Obviously, he's never fought Vader himself, but you know, it's one of those things where it's a very possibility that the Emperor comes into the season finale of Rebels to try to take Ezra Bridger as a Padawan or as an apprentice, I guess, because Sith.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, we know they have Inquisitors, so, which we haven't seen in the Rebels seasons in a while.
True, so, very true.
And they're still around. We just haven't seen them, so that's interesting. All right. Any other comments about Ezra being replaced or replacing Vader, possibly? Which we know doesn't happen, but, you know.
Not especially. I think it's an interesting sort of theory of what could happen, but I'm like, I'm just desperate now for Rebels to be back.
Well, less than a week.
I know, right?
Yeah, see, here's the thing. That's great and all, but also I'm going away. So...
Well, so am I, and plus I haven't watched the first half yet, so. I know I'm a terrible fan.
So, moving on to something that makes me really excited, because I don't want to talk about this till we see, you know, as much as I love Rebels speculation, I want to see it, and it comes back next week. Sorry, guys, you won't be around for it, but I will.
Well, I get to escape Hoth, so I'm not complaining.
That's true, because it's like, what, like 2 degrees now, right now, or below that? I don't know
what that is in Fahrenheit, but probably colder than that.
Wow. Anyway, moving on. Disney at D23 in Tokyo, which is the Disney kind of annual kind of convention, maybe? It's like a Comic-Con for Disney,
I guess, yeah. I would say convention.
Yeah, I would say convention. Like, you know, for fans to gather and see stuff. But the Tokyo D23, not the Anaheim one, which we got a while ago. The Tokyo D23, they revealed some of the Galaxy's Edge's hotels artwork. And I will say, even though they released it as a video, it's only 7 seconds, and it's literally a still picture with background stuff, and it looks amazing. What do you guys think of this?
I mean, I'm really excited just in general for this, but yes, it was nice to see just like a little something more of it, even though it's not like a massive amount. Like, the concept art is great, though. I just can't wait to see it, like physically made and, like, there. Because the concept art always looks great, but it's very, very different to actually seeing it.
Yeah. So, to give you an idea of what the concept art does, and I really like this, is we talked about this when we heard about Galaxy's Edge, the new theme park for Disney World and Disneyland. But this hotel, this themed hotel, is interesting because it's going to be something where you're going to almost not want to leave the hotel because they're going to give you costumes to wear, essentially to cosplay and be part of a rolling story that happens in Star Wars. Basically, this picture that they showed us for what's, you know, the Star Wars-inspired resort planned for Disney World has viewports, and you see like X-Wings and TIE fighters outside the viewport shooting lasers, and you see people just looking out the screen and stuff like that. So you're on this, like, you know, spaceship or starship hotel, if you will. And then you actually see people around like a what looks like almost gambling or game table or something like that, where they're like playing, and they're all dressed in Star Wars-y style clothes, including kids with like Jedi robes. My favorite, though, is you can actually see a little, I think it's a girl, as a Twi'lek, because she's got, you know, the Twi'lek, it looks like a head, like a, you know, a hat that she's wearing, and with like a long sleeve t-shirt, because it's not her skin as the arms, but you can see her in the bottom left. Cool. Yeah, so it's really cool to see that they would be doing stuff like this to get you to dress up, proper attire, to be immersed in this like full-on hotel experience that only Disney can do. So I'm really excited for this, because I can only imagine like being there for 2-3 days, experience like the show, the food, all the stuff there, and then going into the park and everything.
Just everything.
Yeah, so we got our first peek at the themed hotel. They mentioned they were going to do it, but I will say this artwork lives up to what I would hope that the hotel would be. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, no, agree. I'm just really excited to see more of it, like as they're developing it, because I mean, the art is great, don't get me wrong, but I want more. Yeah.
The only thing that gets me is, you know, they announced the hotel at the same time they announced Galaxy's Edge, and we've seen photos of the theme park being built. We haven't seen anything of the hotel being built. I have a feeling that the hotel won't open at the same time as the park does. Like,
you don't think?
I don't think so.
They may stagger it.
Yeah, they just may stagger it. Now,
amount of people.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll stagger it. Now, what's interesting, though, is this hotel is exclusive to Disney World, so not Disneyland, which means it's going to be a special trip for me, because Disneyland is a little bit easier for me to access because my family's out there. But this hotel is specific to Disney World only, and it's the first time that Disney will have a hotel within the gates of the actual amusement park. So this will actually be inside Disney's Hollywood Studios, and you would exit into the trading port Batu, which is at Galaxy's Edge. So this is what makes this hotel special. And that's why I feel like I don't think it's going to open at the same time as the park. I think it'll still be an under construction type thing. The main reason why is, well, it's a whole nother undertaking for them to do. As you know, obviously as a hotel versus a theme park, but at the same time, if they're working on the park in California and Florida simultaneously, you know, I see the park being done before, and I can't imagine Disney not opening up a huge attraction that will draw people in just for wait for a hotel to be finished. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
So I have a feeling the hotel will come afterwards, which just means it'd be a reason to visit one more time.
I mean, if you're within the US, I guess it's a little easier. If you're someone coming from further away, it would, like, completely change your plans, because I wouldn't want to make two separate trips. I'd want to make one trip out and do both.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean, because that's it's a long flight. It's a long thing to do for me, and it's also, like, almost prohibitively expensive to come all the way from the UK to do it. Mm-hmm. So if I was going to do it, I'd want to try and save and do it all at the same time, rather than having, because I'll have to pay, well, when it comes to, like, the hotel, I'd have to pay for my stay at the hotel, plus flights, plus travel to get there, plus spending money, plus everything else, then also getting into the park. Like, park tickets aren't cheap.
No, they're
not. So I'd also have to do that, and having to do that separately, and flights out to Florida aren't cheap. Either. Yeah.
Now, I will say this. The benefit to, you know, it opening separate is it allows there to have time for them to do it correctly. See what is the big thing that they do in the park that people love. You know, just because you have to remember there's, you know, Disney's not perfect. Same thing with Lucasfilm. They've had characters and different things that have not played out the way they expected. So it'd be nice to be able to take some of the things that are really popular and bring them into the hotel, you know, something like that, just kind of move it, you know, as a incentive for people to visit the hotel. We also heard early on that it's going to be like a rolling story, essentially like a cosplay, like you live, like it's a living theater around you with people being in character. So it'd be one of those things where I can imagine they intend for you to, you know, stay 2 days at that hotel or 1 day at that hotel, and then the next day move to a different hotel.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the things where it's going to be an interesting perspective when it does open. But we'll have to wait and see what Disney's plans are. We are more than a year off.
They should attach a casino.
they should attach a casino of sorts, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe it'll be an arcade. Or, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. More news about Solo, A Star Wars Story. How George Lucas helped direct it. Now, I feel like that is definitely an internet tagline of any type of news. But I will say it's interesting. George Lucas was there when Ron Howard took over on Solo, on the filming of Solo. And it was really interesting because George was talking about, you know, in the Millennium Falcon, Han Solo's like, oh, Han should do this. And Ron Howard thought it was such a great idea. He's like, that's a great idea. And he went up and told them, he's like, George wants us to do this. And of course they do it. So it made it into the film, which you probably haven't thought about George Lucas giving direction, you know, as a director for a Star Wars film. But I think of any of the films that have come out, you know, I think Solo would be the perfect one for him to have even a little bit of influence on, beyond just story or like mythology, like just have a little bit more influence on, because Han Solo was his character. He directed the first one. He's the one who kind of molded Harrison Ford into that character. And Harrison Ford obviously went beyond and made the character his. But I like this story. What do you guys think of this?
I mean, in some ways, it's nice that he's involved. Like, I have very similar feelings about George Lucas now as I do about Stephen Moffat and different properties. Like, he is very good. He has good ideas. He just doesn't necessarily execute them in the best way. He is much better when he has someone else overseeing things and guiding it and directing it, and he basically is the ideas man. I think he has very good, like, kind of basic ideas, but needs someone else to almost see them through and flesh them out a little bit more, because I think he gets really excitable.
I you know what? I'll tell you this. I remember seeing George Lucas at Star Wars Celebration 3 in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly. But it was one of those things. Like, he was excited for the crowd that was there. Like, you can see it in his voice. He was really excited. Versus, like, thinking about, like, some of the interviews you see of him, like, when he's doing special editions or prequels, like, how he's kind of laid back, legs crossed on the, you know, on the chair or couch or whatever, answering questions. He was excited to be there in person with everybody else. You see that, like, in the live coverage of the last celebration that was in Florida, I believe. But it's one of those things where, you know, this right here, I agree with you 100%. You see it in the prequels. There are some bad decisions that were made in the prequels, mainly because, you know, George Lucas was overly excited, and it was making another Star Wars movie, and there was no one to say no. He was producer, he was director, he did everything. And I think, unlike the original trilogy, where he said, I want to do this, and he had a studio exec saying, nope, you don't have money for it. Nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't do this. Being able to kind of hold, rein him in a little bit to be able to do some other thing, you know, do things a different way, I think made the original trilogy that much stronger. Prequels, I still love them, but obviously, you know, when you look at them, it's about, you know, the Senate and trade blockage, which is an interesting thing. But when you think about Star Wars, you think adventure, not, you know, a political comedy or something like that. Anyway, but yeah, no, I'm happy that he's there. And I'm glad that like Ron Howard saw it. He's like, oh no, that makes sense. And like just totally ran with it. I'm excited for Solo. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I'm excited for Solo and seeing Lando. And just Chewie again, you know, like, I also had a shower thought that I have to ask you guys about this since we're talking about Solo a little bit. Chewbacca is so old. He's 200 years old at the time of A New Hope. And he goes on, you know, he outlives humans. And I'm sure he's had other human friends that aren't Han Solo. Do you think he thinks of humans as like his pet, almost like his dog, his companion? Like, obviously, you get attached to your animals and everything, and you get really sad when they pass away, just like Chewie got sad when Han was killed. But, like, you know, he outlived him, obviously, and it's not like just like by a couple of years. He's probably going to live for another couple hundred years. What do you think about this? Like, and he's had 200 years before, you know, did he not have any other, you know, friends that he would have seen, you know, grow up and die?
I mean, I think the idea is incredibly sad, like the thought that he's gonna outlive quite a large majority of the people he knows and interacts with. But no, I absolutely do not think he thinks of humans as his pets. Like, that's okay. That's a dynamic that never comes across. Like, he doesn't in any interactions with like Han or anyone like that, like, you don't get the impression that he treats Han like a pet.
Like, I don't know. Do you understand Wookiee, Danya? Do you know what every growl is actually saying?
I mean, you can interpret from his like body language and stuff, though. That's the thing. And I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think that
reason I thought of this, okay, I'll just be honest with you, the reason I thought of this was, I even thought about The Force Awakens the other day, when Chewie got shot, right, and Finn's trying to, you know, put a bandage on him or something like that, and Han gets really protective of Chewie, which, you know, his friend, right, but at the same time, like, have you ever seen, like, a dog get really protective of its owner? Like, I'm not saying that Han is a dog or anything like that. But I'm just saying, like, I just saw some similarities there throughout the characters and the longevity of Chewbacca's life.
Yeah, you know, just, but
and the reason I thought about this is I have a cat that's a little bit older now. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't imagine this cat, you know, passing away soon. I'm going to be really sad. You know, hopefully it's got another couple of years. But it's one of those things where they only have they don't live, you know, 50, 60 years like we do. We'll have to see how Chewie treats Han in the Solo film. I don't know. It was just a thought I had, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought. So, I'm going to move on.
It's basically
on.
Like, no, Mikey, it's just you.
All right, well, you know what? You guys talk to me anyway. Anyways,
your Chewie theory sucks.
one day we're going to get a comic from Chewie, you know, a Chewie comic, that's going to put it all in perspective, and you're going to be like, man, Mikey was right. Anyway, so I do want to talk about this rumor, because George Lucas is also involved in this rumor. So there's a rumor going around about the next Solo film, or the next, not Han Solo film, the next Star Wars story, if you will. Because we know after Episode 9, they haven't announced anything, and we know that there are multiple trilogies involved, and of course they're going to be working on, you know, Star Wars stories, standalone films. So the unconfirmed, standalone film is going to be an Obi-Wan film, which I think a lot of people have said they would like. My argument against it is, like, when would it actually take place? Is it going to take place on Tatooine? We kind of know a little bit about Obi-Wan's experience on Tatooine because of Rebels. First of all, before we dive into what the rumor is saying right now that has George Lucas in it, what do you guys think if an Obi-Wan film was coming?
I mean, I thought this had already been confirmed. I remember writing an article about it.
We are still waiting official confirmation. What we have is we have director Stephen Daldry is attached to an unconfirmed project as writer and director. And we have the working...
Hold on, because I'm never,
pretty sure
we talked about it. Hold on. Obi-Wan.
We talked about it, but I don't know whether it was because it was confirmed or if we were talking about the possibility. But personally, like, I think for me, like, I love Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I think it depends on the story, on what, like, how excited I'm going to be for this.
Yeah, here we go. August 17th, Lucasfilm sets next Star Wars spin-off movie Stephen Daldry tep to direct. So it was reported by The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, but they didn't, but Lucasfilm hasn't announced what the film is. They just said there is another film that Stephen Daldry is doing. Hollywood Reporter said it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, but we have yet to get it confirmed that it's an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Yeah, but then you know that they're keeping shtum because they're just like, well, we don't want to give it away. But.
Well, because they also probably haven't finalized, you know, contracts with Ewan McGregor or anyone else yet, you know, to play the role.
Yeah.
But, so this is actually where... All right, so this is where the rumor of George Lucas comes in again, and why it's really important that George was involved in Solo, because the fact that he was even involved on set, like in a, you know, as a father figure capacity, just, you know, he knows these people, so he's friends with all of Lucasfilm. But he was seen in Belfast with Ewan McGregor, leaving a very fancy restaurant, just talking. And of course, Ewan McGregor has a very Obi-Wan-like beard still. So it's not very far to be like, Lucasfilm is using him as a liaison to kind of butter him up, to get him to agree to doing, you know, an Obi-Wan film, which he already has said he would love to do.
He's already said that he's he's down to do it.
But you gotta remember, there's also, like, you have to remember, there are so many things that happen. Obviously, Ewan McGregor, to star in another Obi-Wan film, he would love to do it. I am sure his agent is saying, well, if he's going to do it, he needs this much money for it, which might be more than Disney wants to pay for a leading actor, you know, where it might not all be him. Like, he might just be making an appearance. You know, we don't know. So, like, having George being there, like, hey, we really want you. I don't want to have someone else do it. You brought such, you know, since he worked with George for three movies and George and him helped embody Obi-Wan. I feel like this is not a far away, like, not, it's not a hard to believe rumor that George Lucas is involved some way in the Obi-Wan film to help get Ewan McGregor attached to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, also, he could just be hanging around and just chilling out. He still loves Star Wars, so.
Well, you know. I get that. I don't know. I just feel like for someone who's supposed to be retired, being tied to a couple things.
Yeah, but he's
kind of
got nothing else to do except hang out and do, like, just chill out. He's probably bored.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I feel like this is like a... Well, like, think about it. Like, you have someone who's like a former, you know, a former senator or something like that, or, you know, someone who goes and helps, like, bridge relationships with other countries and stuff like that. Like, you have someone who's put in... who has retired, do some of these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And having George, who is not involved, but involved on the outside, if you will, you know, I feel like this would be a way to get them to confirm eventually that it is an Obi-Wan movie with Ewan McGregor donning the Jedi cloak again. I don't know. I'd be excited for it. Yes? No?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little wary about him being involved too much, but it would be, it's nice to have him, like, throw around ideas, but I'm more wary about the more control that he has. So, yes, to a certain extent, I like the idea of him being around, but not too much.
For a second, I thought you were talking about Ewan McGregor. I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, no. She's talking about George Lucas. This makes perfect sense.
See, I'd be okay with George not, like, coming back to direct, but helping write a story or getting writing credit somewhere. Why no? I'd be okay with it.
Because his writing on the prequel trilogy stuff had to be doctored so much by Carrie Fisher, and it still wasn't that good, even after she did all the doctoring work.
I think that's also because I think if he worked with somebody on a story, it'd be good. Because he's a good storyteller. I'm not saying write the script, but like I said, writing's credit.
He has good ideas. I just don't know that I would trust him to, like,
maybe come up with the concept, but have somebody else write it.
Yeah.
And I'd be fine with that. Like, I would love for him to be involved in, you know, Rian Johnson's trilogy. Why? Because I feel like Rian Johnson did such a good job with The Last Jedi telling his unique story and having George kind of help, you know, flesh out some characters and idea of how certain things should go in the new story he wants to tell. Like, I feel like not having him write the script or anything, but like just help attach the story or help develop the story, I think it would be good. But that's just me, who I still love George Lucas, and I have no problems with the prequels other than, you know, the obvious things. So, moving on, back to some Disney stuff. Sorry, there's a lot of news this week, and we have to get through it. So, back to Disney. Even before Star Wars Land Galaxy's Edge comes up, it becomes a reality, we have now have Rey joining the Star Wars parks at Disneyland in the Star Wars launch bay. So previously you've had Chewbacca on the light side experience, and you had Boba Fett, Kylo Ren, and Darth Vader in the dark side experience, and now Rey will join the light side experience. You will finally have a Rey character in the theme parks, which I think is interesting because all the other Star Wars characters have been masked characters. Like, they have stormtroopers roaming around. They have, you know, Boba Fett is masked. There's a picture of my daughter. I think I posted it somewhere here for Patreon members with Boba Fett. You know, they're all, you know, masked figures to make it look like Star Wars. We don't have any, you know, there's not a Luke Skywalker. There's not a Han Solo. But we're going to have Rey, which I'm okay with that because Disney has their princesses that are what they refer to as face characters. So I'm excited to have a Rey character.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, yes, I want to go to Disney to meet Rey. What?
That would be amazing. I will say they've had significantly more. The story only mentions Kylo Ren, Darth Vader, but I know for a fact because Disneyland down the street from my parents' house, they have Kylo Ren, Boba Fett, Darth Vader. My cousin, who has worked for Disney in the past, she was actually the seventh sister at the Jedi training temple in Tamarland. So the seventh sister is there. But again, that's part of their story of, like, they bring these, you know, Darth Maul out. They bring all these other bad characters that the Jedi then fight, which is you, the character who's there. So you're the light side. It's interesting. They just don't have many light side characters because they are all face characters in the Star Wars universe, except for a few like Chewbacca. And so now we're going to have Rey. I would love to see a Princess Leia too, since they're going to have a face character. Why not have a Princess Leia in the white, you know, outfit
and the buns? Yes, please.
I'm excited for this. Next time I go to Disney, I'll have to take a picture with Rey because I'm super excited for this. But yeah, you agree? It sounded like Danya. You agree?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. No, absolutely. I'm like, yes, bring it on. I want to go meet Rey. I want to go. Come on, let's do it.
Caitlin, yeah, Rey in the parks, or
and I will take Rose and a pin, Poe and Finn as well.
See, and I think that would be cool if they added like the other characters. But I get, my only concern is I get how it's sometimes difficult to do it. Like, they don't do a lot of face characters very often that are not part from their animated films, just because it's hard to get them all to look the same. And Daisy Ridley as Rey is kind of steeped in our brain. So even the picture they're showing us, which is not Daisy, on the Entertainment Weekly article, it kind of is like, well, obviously that's not Rey, but, you know, it's close enough to believe that's the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Last bit of news is also from Entertainment Weekly. Right after we recorded last week's show, they released a series of 9 images from their insights on Solo. And I just want to briefly talk about these photos, guys. What'd you think of them?
I mean...
Lando!
Yeah, it's basically just like, yay, I have a high-res version of that one image, like that one moment of Lando from the trailer. But honestly, these are just high-res versions of stills from the trailer.
Are they? There was this shot right here, the Wookiee shot, didn't look like it was from the trailer. The two Wookiees?
Most of them look as if they are.
Oh, maybe it's not two Wookiees, that's actually Han. I'm looking at it. He just looks like a Wookiee.
Cool, because he's wearing the fur coat that you were complaining about last time.
Yeah.
Thank you, that I was complaining about. Make me feel that much. But yeah, you know, they do look a lot like, most of them look like stills from the trailer, but a few of them look like they're pretty much like, I don't know. Like I said, that one on the train, I don't think that was in the trailer myself. Like, the train was, but not that close up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we did get names for Meet L337, the droid that salutes Lando. Or, you know.
That's Kira's droid.
Yeah, but the fact that we now have a name for the droid, which we didn't have before on last week's show.
Yeah.
And I do like the mud troopers on Mimban. So you got mud troopers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought it was nice to see these pictures and get a little bit more detail on some of the other things that we have.
The droid in the Mimban one kind of looks like a droid from the original trilogy. Where did I see it? I don't know. It was Jabba's palace.
That's the what do you call it? The B, was it 2-1B droid? It's the 2-1B droid. It's the 2-1B medical droid.
Oh, I know where I've seen it now. Never mind.
Yeah, that droid was in Empire Strikes Back, the 2-1B medical droid.
In Hoth.
Yep, on Hoth, which is where you're at, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why I looked so familiar. Yeah,
but I do like that we have like little insights like that. Like we see things that we've seen as familiar versus just all new. So that makes me happy. All right, guys, I think it's time for our spotlight topic. Anything else you want to add about the news? I know we had quite a bit.
Nope. Good to move on. Let's talk about Secrets of the Empire.
All right, so Secrets of the Empire by the Void. First of all, your thoughts on it, because they've heard my thoughts. If you've listened to the last couple episodes, I've talked about the Secrets of the Empire. Because I think it was amazing. I went to experience it in January.
Which is no secret.
It's amazing. So, Danya, initial thoughts of Secrets of the Empire.
Oh my god, it was so much fun.
It's totally worth it. Like, I cannot stress enough. Like, it is kind of expensive. Like, how much were the tickets in London for you?
Like, £32.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of pricey. I'm double checking right now in California right now in Anaheim. The tickets are $29.95 US dollars per person. So they are, it's pricey. But it is like.
Is that including tax for you or not?
I don't remember. I'd have to look at my receipt.
Usually not. Because
the £32 is including VAT for us. So.
Yeah. Because UK usually includes the tax, whereas the states in Canada, they don't usually list the tax. That's added on afterward.
Yeah. That's why I was asking, because it always messes me up every single time I come out there and I go to buy something and I'm like, oh, it's only this much. And I end up going there and then they're like, no, actually, it's this much because tax.
Yeah,
that's exactly what everyone does. Every like cash register I go to, that's what they do. They laugh at me. No, they don't. It's a lie.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now from Adam. You know what? I don't think there was a tax on it, actually.
Don't quite
order confirmation.
That. Yeah, does Florida not have tax? Is that?
I was in California and saw it, not in Florida.
Okay. Does California not have tax?
Oh, California has like 10% tax. It's like 9.75.
Okay.
Like that's a high percentage.
All
right. Yeah, right.
Sorry, Canada. Sorry, Hoth.
That's okay.
Yeah,
we have free medical care.
Regardless of the price, it's worth it. It's worth it. Like, I want to.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely worth it. I had such a good time. I do wish that it had been longer.
It's about 15 minutes, though, which is still good, but I think I wish it had been longer.
Yes. I do wish that it had been longer. I think about 30 minutes would have been great.
Yeah,
it to last a little longer, that's all.
The only argument I'd have with it being longer is, I don't know, have you ever played Laser Tag?
Yeah.
Well, those games are usually about 15, 20 minutes long.
Oh my god, I used to spend hours in them.
the games are 15, 20 minutes, and then you stop, and then you can go back in for another game, but the thing is, I feel like it's only 15 minutes long because I know some people would have problems walking around that much. And again, it is something that gets your adrenaline going. It's awesome. So what it is, just to give you an idea. So the Secrets of the Empire, A Void, is a full sensory immersive experience with you and your friends or family walking around inside the action. So it's not just VR, but it's location-based entertainment. So you actually walk through, you get on a lift, if you will, as you're flying over Mustafar in the lava. It's hot, although my wife made a comment that when you smell the smoke and stuff, it's not supposed to smell like hickory, because lava doesn't smell like hickory, but we come from an area where there's lots of barbecue, so it's easy for her to spot those things. But you walk into a real-time hyper-reality experience that combines interactive sets, real-time effects, and just amazing technology. Literally, like, there's practical things that you grab that, as you look at it, it looks like one thing, but if you ever take the mask, the helmet off, it's something different.
Yeah. So, are you allowed to do that while you're in there?
No. You are allowed to if something's wrong or you're feeling sick, like they tell you, but you're not, like, supposed to take your VR headset off.
Question, like, you may not know because you probably did like played by the rules, but if you like aren't playing by the rules, do they have like a voiceover that comes on and been like, don't do that?
Yes. I don't know if you had any experience like that done yet. My experience, it was really funny. Mine was a little bit longer because at one point in it, kind of like a ride at a theme park where they would stop the ride and they say like, remain seated, please. Your ride will continue. Or like at Disneyland, they do like the Doom Buggies and the Haunted Mansion, or your Buzz Lightyear car will continue in a bit. Mine actually stopped for a minute, and I think it was because someone was doing something they wouldn't do. And then they told us not to stand up on something because the four of us in our transport got kind of bored while we were waiting. But it was there. Like, we were just kind of exploring inside the little room we were in. And they told us not to push on the walls because some of the walls don't exist, even though you're looking at them. If that makes sense. like we're like, okay, the wall we're sitting against, the wall we're leaning against is there. The wall to the left of us was there, so the door actually closed behind us. But the wall in front of us, which, as I figured it out as the story went, as the VR hyper reality experience went on, that's where the opening of like the cargo door opened up, and you walked through that. But like, as we went to go touch that door before we got to that point in the experience, it wasn't there, and other little things. But we'll talk about it. So, I do want to talk about Secrets of the Empire, just the hyper reality part. Like I just mentioned, like there's no, you see walls, but sometimes the walls aren't there. Did you have any weird experience with that, Danya?
Not really. The only moment that kind of got really dicey, and this was the bit I was kind of referring to, like before we started recording, was I want to figure out if this was like
if it was part of the story or if I, like, completely messed up. Because, you know, there's a part where you go in and you grab blasters.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see on the VR is the actual blasters. And it's really, really cool. But you get, like, these little, like, sort of gun things that you actually do pick up and you use and you whatever. But I literally just picked mine up and I was holding it and trying to, like, adjust my grip, and mine went off in my hand.
Ooh.
Did you pull the trigger?
No, I didn't pull the trigger. Like, I just had my hands on, like, part of it, and it just went off in that room. Literally, as K2SO was saying, now try not to draw attention to yourselves, and literally my blaster goes off, and then all the alarms start blaring and blazing from that moment. Because the thing is, like, not only that, but I shot one of the other people that was with me.
I'll say this. I'm glad that Danya wasn't on my team. We went a little while. So here's the thing. So there are so as a hyper reality, like you said, no, my blaster did not go off and I didn't draw it.
Okay.
We actually went. So I spent time talking to the people at the Void after it, and I also spent time talking to people at Disney from it, with the whole experience that ILM X Labs made. So with hyper reality, apparently there's actually more than one spot with blasters. So when you picked up your blaster or your group picked up your blaster, may have been different from when my group picked up our blasters. So there's actually multiple locations for blasters because you have to get them at some point in time.
Okay.
So yeah, so you may have gotten them different spots. There's also when we talk about hyper reality, I'm sure you'll remember a spot where K2SO is playing essentially like the game Simon Says, where it's like you have to match the lights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So those lights are there, those buttons you're pushing. But what's interesting is my mom had the experience. She said, like, the one person she was with was doing it, and they kept cycling. Like, the really cool thing is, like, they have, like, loop sections in the one where, like, stormtroopers will just keep coming at you while one person is trying to, like, figure out the combo so you guys can get out. And K2SO got really snarky. He's like, is there anyone else who can do this? Like, it's what I never heard that on my mom. My mom's like, it was really funny. K2SO was yelling at him. He's like, is there anyone else who can help us? And I almost wonder if it's like someone watching it, because you have, like, you know, at Disneyland, those, you have like some of the characters who interact with people. And obviously it might just be in K2's voice asking, is there anyone else who can help get you through this? And so my mom was like, I'll do it. And my mom took over and she was able to want to get the Simon Says thing through. So
yeah, so K2SO did the same thing to us as well. But the thing is that I was the one doing it the entire time. Like, everyone else had, like, completely missed the instruction that you were supposed to hit the lights in the order. And they were off back in the other chamber, like,
shooting the stormtroopers,
being
right?
Like, basically, yeah.
Which is what I was doing, yeah.
So I'm basically there doing the lights, and I'm doing it in exactly the right pattern. Like, I'm like, no, that's exactly what I hit, and K2 is telling me it was wrong.
Okay.
So
see,
I was
doing
it over and over and over again.
On mine, we got yeah, in mine, we got through it fairly quick. And they were like, he's like, oh, I didn't realize you were that good. Like, he said that to us. Like, we got through it in one time. So Danya, I think you may have mishit one pattern, maybe. Anyway,
because the thing is, one of the others came in after me then being like, what's going on? I was like, well, we're supposed to hit these in order, and they were watching me do it, and they were like, well, that was right. And then K2 was like, is there anyone else who can do this? And we're like, but I hit it in the right pattern. So I don't know if there was like a weird glitch on ours that just
maybe
had it caught in a loop or something, because it happens. It's not, like, completely unusual, but we were stuck in a loop for a little bit at that bit, but wasn't the end of the world.
Well, it could have been, I'm almost wondering, as we're thinking about this, I'm almost wondering if that's why I froze before we got off the shuttle to Mustafar, because someone was stuck there trying to get the pattern right. Anyway, but yeah, as a hyper-reality experience, you interact with real objects, like a blaster that looks like a blaster, you know, this button panel that is a door combination code, if you will. The VR headset is really cool. It's fully immersive, where it's obviously a VR headset that goes over your eyes, It's a headset that also goes over your ears with a stereo sound, with, you know, full on stereo sound, and there's a microphone so you can communicate to your team. So it's totally like, if you wanted to like take it as super serious, you could be your squad leader, you know, telling the other stormtroopers to follow you, fall in line, you know, doing all that stuff. So I thought it was really cool just as a VR experience, having the headset and the headphones and the microphone there. Plus the pack, which obviously controlled it. Essentially, it's a little computer on your backpack. But it also had vibration motors throughout it. So if you got shot, I don't know if you got hit at all, Danya, with the blaster bolt, you feel it in your shoulder or your arms or, you know,
your torso somewhere. Yeah, I got hit once and it made me jump. I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
But it was great. Yeah, I got hit once.
Yeah, my wife said she got hit like two or three times. I got hit a bunch on purpose because I wanted to see like how it felt after. All right, so here's the thing. Yeah, it's like at first, no. I did. So like I was doing really good. I didn't get hit. And Leslie's like, I got hit. I'm like, wait, did you feel it? Like I said, did you feel it? And she's like, yeah. So I then stood up instead of like crouching down, like because I wanted to see like if I can get hit. I will say this, regardless, trying to get hit, stormtroopers are a really bad shot. I'm apparently a good shot, but they're really bad shot. I took out like 50 of them, and well, I got and hit I watched, like four or five times, and I was trying to get shot.
I watched the trailer for it, and in it, Mon Mothma, somebody else who I guess is giving instructions because you're supposed to dress up like a stormtrooper, it's like, act Imperial! And I'm like, so you're supposed to purposely miss the shots? Like, you're not supposed to hit things?
And that's kind of what it was. But beyond the experience, the VR, the backpack, the hyperreality, the story on it was, I thought, was pretty cool. Like, it was a very good story. It starts off going out, you know, before you get in. Obviously, there's like the rules and stuff you get. But then there's a message from Cassian Andor. Like, you know, Diego Luna is in the video. What do you think of this? What do you think of this as this intro video before you got there?
I loved it. I thought it was so good. It was such a nice tie-in, and I just thought it was great. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool having him kind of tell you the backstory of what you're doing. So basically, as a story, just to give you an idea, their official story is you have orders, under orders of the Budding Rebellion, your team will travel to the molten planet of Mustafar. So you, Diego Luna tells you that you have to go to this planet. Your mission is recover Imperial intelligence vital to the rebellion's survival. Alongside K2SO, who joins you, your team must navigate through enemy facility, walking into danger at every turn. Disguise as stormtroopers, grab your blasters, solve puzzles, and fight giant lava monsters in an effort to fulfill your team's orders. So basically, Luna tells you that there is this chest, the secret information from, you know, Imperial intelligence that we need to know what it is. We have to uncover it and let the Rebel Alliance know because it's going to Mustafar, essentially Vader's castle, if you will.
Yeah.
He wanted to join us, but he couldn't because he got boarded. But he sent K2 along to help us out because he's an Imperial droid, you know. So K2 joins you on this journey. So he's kind of there off in the background, does a couple things. He plays a very vital role at the very end, which we'll talk about. But it's really cool. So once you kind of get that kind of overview before you go in from Cassian Andor, they kind of tell you what's going to happen. You put your pack on and everything, and then you pick your, you know, what color your stormtrooper is going to be. So Danya, what color did you pick?
I didn't pick a specific color. It was just automatically.
Oh. Okay, well, then there's a minor difference. I was the green trooper. Like the Green Ranger, if you're a Power Ranger fan. But I was the green trooper. Leslie was yellow. And then the people who were with us, because we didn't have a group of four, both chose purple, which I thought was weird because I couldn't tell them apart afterwards. But these are just little accents you have on your stormtrooper armor to be able to tell people apart when you're in there. You can also tell, obviously, via height. Now, Danya, I saw the picture of the four of you. Was there any jokes? Because I know I told my wife, aren't you a little short?
That was absolutely a joke. Come on.
Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? Well, yeah, I'll say this. You and Leslie are about the same height, Danya. You know this. And I had to tell her the joke because, she's a little short to be a stormtrooper. You know, 5 foot. Yeah. But But it was good. So yeah, so once you get in, you get the backpack on, you go, you know, I've talked to Cassie and Andor, you get in, and I will say the coolest thing ever is once the whole thing like activates, the VR starts, like just looking at your hands. Like you see the Stormtrooper gloves, your color that you chose is all there. Looking around the room, you know, that you're in, because you're like in a shuttle. Everybody's in Stormtrooper costumes, like, and they're interacting, like, you know, obviously, like, it's really goofy. I'm sure your group did this too, Diane. Did you guys just wave at each other just to kind of be like, hey, look,
oh,
it's
yeah,
me.
We did a lot of, like, really dumb stuff.
Like, VR stuff, yeah. So, like, the story, before it gets into the story, like, you get the experience of that VR thing, which is pretty cool. But you go through, you know, trying to go through this secret base, with K2 kind of directing you over the headset, if you will. You end up fighting a lava monster at one point in time, which I thought was kind of cool.
We fought a lot of stormtroopers.
You fight a lot of stormtroopers.
Yeah, because when the blaster went off, it set off all the alarms. So immediately coming out of that room, we were already being attacked. Like, we were being attacked before we left the room. Because... Stormtroopers were aiming for us because you let them know
because
the blaster went off and alerted them.
Good job, Danya. We made it all the way to the lava monster before we had to start shooting.
No, seriously, we were shooting the whole way there.
There you go. Anyway, so you get your blasters, you're going through this, and then you finally see the secret weapon, which is this case. And I honestly with you, like, in my mind, I'm like, it's a kyber crystal. It's a giant kyber crystal to tie into, like, everything else we know. It looks like the case that you saw in Rebels that saw Sabine and Ezra, like, were sabotaging. Like, it looked like that. It was really nice to see stuff from other media brought out. And obviously, it being more of a realistic, kind of real-life version than just the cartoon. And then they open it up, or your troop commander who flew, your pilot, opens it up, and he picks it up, and it says it looks like an ancient Jedi lightsaber, and it's really cool because this is the first time in VR that you're seeing like this lightsaber, right, humming on and everything, and then Darth Vader comes out.
Yeah,
and Danya,
that was the point. That was the point where my entire group was basically swearing. there were a lot of expletives going on because we were like, we are gonna die. Like,
you're like, what do we do? Like, everyone's well. So here's the thing: is like, our experience was exactly the same. Everyone's like, Vader, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him, and he's just like swatting your blaster bolts, like, left and right with his saber, doing everything. And then, do you want to tell what happens next, Anya? Do you want to say it?
No, that's fine. You go.
As he does this, and then he puts his hand up and he uses the force, and like, how do you experience the force? Like, so here's the thing, is like, they call it a hyper reality, right? How do you experience the force? Well, he puts his hands up and he makes a fist, like, crush it. Obviously, he's not choking you, he's not doing any of that, but he crushes your blaster in your hand so much so that it even vibrates to feel like it was bent and crushed. And so and here's the thing, so like, the blaster itself, when you take the mask off, it's not bent or anything like that. But because it's full VR and it's reskinned to look like a Star Wars blaster, when he bends and crushes it, it breaks, it vibrates a little bit to kind of give you a shock, and you have sparks coming out. You pull the trigger, like, it doesn't like fire anymore. It's like broken. It's making like a whining sound. And Vader is just coming at you because he's just broken four blasters. These four people are out. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then K2 saves the day. He comes crashing in with this big old, you know, ship into like the platform building that we're in. Vader goes flying. He's like, hurry up! And we all hop on, safe and sound. Blaster's broken. Thank you, KT. In my mind, you know, to stay with the theme of Star Wars, I was like, thank the maker for K2SO. You know, just like C-3PO would. I was very happy that we got out of there alive. Obviously, it's a game. Would have been fine. But it was a really cool experience. Like, Caitlin, think of this. Like, remember the first time you saw Rogue One and you saw Vader turn that lightsaber on and just come through and just, like, demolish everybody? That's what it was.
Basically that.
It was essentially that scene, but in virtual reality, hyper reality. Because you have to understand, like, we're across, like, this, we're on this, you know, Imperial walkway, and he has this walkway extending to us. We're all blastery at him, and he's just batting them away, reaches out his hand and destroys our blasters. We're like, oh crap, like, you know, what do you do? Like, that's where it is. So it was a very cool experience. There are three locations that this is happening at. In Anaheim at Downtown Disney, in Florida at, I believe, Downtown Disney there also, Disney Springs, and then the Void at Westfield, London. I've experienced the Anaheim one, Dining experienced the London one. If you've done it in Florida, let us know. One thing I do know about Florida is the Florida one, they have two hyper reality experiences. They have Secrets of the Empire, and they also have a Ghostbusters one, which is pretty interesting. So they have a Ghostbusters one at the Void in Disney Springs. So there's two different scenarios there. I feel like that's the biggest of them all. But yeah, so that's there. It's definitely worth checking out. If you get a chance to do it or if you've done it, let us know, because this was just a really cool experience. While I was at Disney talking to the people there for this, they did mention that some of this technology, this hyper reality VR with ILM X Labs, is going to be making its way into the parks. They wouldn't tell me what ride or anything, but we do know that we get to fly the Millennium Falcon. So I have a weird feeling this VR hyper reality thing will tie into us flying the Millennium Falcon inside the theme park at some point.
Yeah, if some of this VR and hyper-reality stuff is what will be used and refined and kind of, like, put together for the parks, it's going to be incredible. Like, it's probably one of the best, like, VR hyper-reality experiences I've ever had.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Feel free to tweet at us at Our Radio Podcast. Ask us questions about it, guys. This was such a cool experience, and you can do it. It is kind of pricey, but I feel like it is totally worth it, especially if you're going on vacation. Take the time out to reserve yourself tickets for this, because it does sell out. I waited a couple days when I was in California before I got my tickets, and the day we wanted to go, they were completely sold out. We ended up going the next day, and I wanted to actually go twice, once to just experience and once to, like, mentally take notes so I can talk about it here, and there wasn't a second time for me to go unless I wanted to wait 7 hours before I went again. So it was just a great experience to have. Anything else about Secrets of the Empire, Danya?
The only other thing is that if you go and do it, look down at your feet and shuffle around, because it looks like you're floating.
Yes, you have no feet. I mentioned this the first time I talked about it. Just don't look down, because you don't have feet. And I will say, that's actually...
Well, we had feet, but you were literally, like, sliding about, so it looked like you were moonwalking everywhere.
Oh, wait, so you personally had feet, or the other people had?
Oh, other people had feet. I couldn't see it. When I looked down, I couldn't see my own feet. But when I looked at other people's feet, like... You were sliding around.
Oh, see, so I didn't have this.
So when we were in, like, the little ready room bit, when we were waiting to actually, like, start everything, you know, after you've, like before you go into the bit where you sat down, because you had, like, a little bit where you come in and then you sit down and then you go off. Yeah, so we were in that room and we were literally, like, shuffling around like idiots.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember us stepping. I don't remember us sliding and moonwalking. I remember at some point someone moonwalked, but I think it was just, I think this is the computer trying to catch up. But no, we were walking. But when you looked down at your own feet, you didn't have feet.
No, you didn't have feet. But everyone else's feet, you just slid around everywhere, and it was hysterical. So have fun with that.
Yeah, it was good. Caitlin, any questions that you have as an outsider who hasn't experienced yet that you want to know about Secrets of the Empire?
Not really, because I asked you a lot of questions when you originally went. Danya wasn't on that episode.
Yeah.
And then
we covered most of that this time, but it is a very interesting experience, because it's not VR. They call it hyper reality because, like I said, it is virtual reality.
But you smell stuff. Like, when you landed on Mustafar, like, you felt the heat.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you smell stuff, you feel the heat. Like I said, like there's a wall that has all the Star Wars glyphs, like, you know, the ship. You lean back on it, like it's all there. Like, and you know, once you see, if you see it without the helmet on, which I got the ability to see it after I did the experience, it is just a lot of it. It's just white walls. Like, it's not anything there. Like, the VR throws all that stuff up. So when you touch it, like, there is a physical item that you're touching. For the most part, there are a couple walls that my hand went through that weren't really there, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, like, it's an actual experience, which is really cool.
Any motion sickness?
They do mention that if you get motion sickness or anything like that, you let them know, like, you raise your hands up and they'll stop it for you.
Yeah, but I personally didn't get any motion sickness at all.
Yeah, I didn't personally have any motion sickness. No one I went with, my mom didn't have any motion sickness. My mom did mention that she actually, they tell you if you're having any trouble with the VR, the scene, like when you get in, let them know. She mentioned that right when she got in, she was having problems with it. They stopped it, they reset her pack and everything, and then she was good to go. But
yeah,
going into it, like, she actually had problems, so... You're spending $30 for this or £30 for this. Like, you definitely want to make sure that the experience is worth the experience. So if you have problems like visual, like, let them know.
Yeah, I did have to tighten everything up a little bit more. Like, there are two like twisty sort of knobs on the top of the headset. Helmet.
Yep.
Yeah. I had to readjust those after like we got in and were properly set up, because right at the start it felt right. Like, it felt secure. It felt like it was in the right place, but then when we were actually going through, it was like really blurry. So I was like, okay, so I had to readjust it.
Yeah, I actually had to loosen it up because it was like crushing my head, but I was also like, all right, I'm gonna strap in, and I tightened it really tight, and then I'm like, this is just hurting me, and I loosened it.
Damn.
It was the headset one, but that's me being overzealous. But yeah, it was a cool experience. Anything else, guys? All right. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. As always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.